Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shut up, Zeppy.
Shush.
Right. Crunching finished.
Welcome back to the Box Set Pod. Matthew Wanless has finished chewing his breadsticks, and it's time to start another year of podcasts. My name's Howell, this is Jamie, and this is Matthew Wanless, now pretty much securely in a trio with us talking about TV. How are you,
That's
Matthew?
That's right. Yeah, good, thank you. Very, very, very good. I've got a very loud cat.
Loud cat is chewing breadsticks. We're expecting,
and she's got opinions.
And also, is this the laziest start to the new year of any podcast? Is there an award? I think probably January the 26th is pretty good going.
Oh,
not too shabby.
Well done. So, The Walking Dead's on a hiatus in its mid-season break, and it means that we can turn to other box sets and chat about them. And this is perhaps a little overdue, although with the number of series that Netflix are releasing seemingly by the week at the moment,
wow,
it's possible you haven't
wow
picked it up yet. Punisher is our subject for this evening. Before we begin, what else are you two currently chewing up on the Netflix due to this deluge of material that's coming out? Jamie, what you want?
I've got a couple of corkers that I'd like to mention. First of all, Dark. You heard
no
of Dark?
No.
German, no. German time traveling murder mystery.
Holy shit!
it's on Netflix, and it's a mind bender. Takes about three episodes to get in, which, you know, fits within the remit of the rules. But once you get into it, oh my word, it's a complex binger. Also, Godless, the Western starring Jeff Daniels.
Yes.
That's really good. Just in the middle of that at the moment. And it's only seven episodes, but they're all quite long, but really good, chunky Western. It's a good time of year to watch a Western as well, because the weather's so crapola. It's kind of nice to just get away to the
bit of,
you know,
sunset,
horses,
bit of desert.
Yeah.
Well, we must get that one on the list then, because I watched about 10 minutes of that and stopped, but my parents and lots of people saying crack on. I'm mainly watching the Gilmore Girls because Sarah's never watched it. We're on like season 5 of 7 and the specials at the moment. But we've chewed up Unabomber. That was great. We have
The Podcast That Never Was.
Yeah, we haven't done that. We were going to do it and then we cancelled it. There's a few things. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee is now on Netflix, which is great.
Oh, God, what a joy that is.
Yeah. Nice to have
Sadly, one of the best episodes of Comedians in Cars is Louis C.K.'s one. It's really good.
It's not sad.
It is on there, Louis C.K.'s.
You know, there we go. I still wonder why we're surprised that people who work in the entertainment industry are often pervs. But there we go.
Well, it's not about surprise.
Yeah.
It's disappointment and shamefulness. That's what it is.
But this is a man.
It's not that everyone's just going, oh, it's such a shock.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
Yeah.
But now I've been watching a lot of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I've been watching The Good Place.
Oh, brilliant. Me too.
Really enjoyed that. I watched, I can't remember if the last time we spoke I'd finished The Sinner, which I thought was quite good.
Yeah, couldn't stick with that yet, but
It's worth sticking with, you know. It's a mystery that's worth unravelling, I think.
Okay.
What else have I been watching? I polished off Game of Thrones.
Good.
I've got to say, I mean, I know you guys did Series 7 sort of
episode
live tweeting, whatever the podcast equivalent of live tweeting is. And I didn't listen to those. I might go back and listen to those, because I think the last four episodes of Series 7 are the best four episodes of Game of Thrones I've seen.
Oh, big claim.
Wow. I think
they are very good, although Battle of the Bastards still stands out to me as one of the best episodes of telly.
Yeah, maybe, but the one... Because I'd gone on a Game of Thrones hiatus. We got three episodes into Series 7, and then this keeps happening to us. We find something else that's more interesting, basically, because neither me or Anna really give a fuck about Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And then I had nothing to do. Basically, I'm a single parent at the moment because my wife's on tour with a play. Mm-hmm. Passage to India, by the way. It's on in Salisbury at the moment. Go and see it.
Excellent.
So I had nothing to do. I'm stuck in here evening, so I have nowhere to go and no one to go to. Mm. So I put it back on, and Spoils of War, suddenly it was like it just delivered all the stuff I wanted, which is mainly dragons.
Yeah. It's great, but let's not give anything away and just say it's brilliant. But I ask you both two questions. One, if you were about to get on a spaceship and there was a table, someone set up a trestle table, you were allowed to take one of their box sets. One is The Walking Dead and one is The Game of Thrones. Which one would you pick, and how long would it take you to make the decision, Matthew?
Before they'd even finished the sentence, as soon as I saw the choice, I would choose The Walking Dead.
Jamie?
Within seconds of you saying the words, before Matt had even said anything, I'd choose Game of Thrones.
Whoa! Really? Well, I'm with Wandless on this. 100% Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Game of Thrones. You would choose Walking Dead over Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
We're just saying that.
Oh,
I'm less than a heartbeat.
Are you serious?
Game of Thrones. Oh, heartbeat.
My word.
Okay.
Oh, my word.
In which case, next week we're going to have a battle episode between Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. That's going to be great.
You'll get me angry.
To be confirmed. Now, let's get on to The Punisher. So welcome back to the Box Set Pod. If you've never listened to it before, we try not to spoil anything. I have watched four or five episodes of The Punisher. Jamie, how much have you watched?
Two.
And us two newbies will be in the court trying to be persuaded by the lawyer and fan that is Matthew. Is that correct? Have you watched it all, Matt?
Yeah, I watched it and loved it, yeah.
Okay, so there are two, I think, main areas of discussion here. One is Marvel, this versus Marvel world, and Marvel fatigue that we've discussed a lot.
How complicated
Marvel stuff has gotten, all of that. And the second is then Punisher alone, without that context, against everything else that's on offer at the moment. So let's...
Well, should we set the scene very briefly?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Matt, go on, set the scene.
So the Punisher, a.k.a. Frank Castle, is a former United States Marine and Special Forces guy.
Sir, yes, sir.
Very much like a sort of tactical specialist and a weapons specialist. Really, very, very, very deadly person who is hit by a terrible tragedy, which affects his family, and kind of, it's never really clear whether he's insane or just driven. But he becomes this sort of force for morality, or what his own perceived morality, and decides to punish criminals in whatever guise he finds them, any kind of crime. Mm-hmm. He's a big part of the Marvel Universe in the comics, and has been in the Daredevil series, in the second series of that, and... We now have his fully fledged storyline for himself, which sees him kind of coming back into New York. Is it New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is New York, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it?
No, it is. It is definitely New York, yeah. He's been lying low for a long time, but then he's kind of... He's drawn out by this other character called... What's his name?
The Matrix.
It's a computer term.
What's it called? Magic. It begins with an M, doesn't it? Micro.
Micro. That's right. who is in a similar situation, and they kind of form
the guy from Girls.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's Marnie's crazy
Marnie's squeeze. Yeah,
yeah.
And they kind of form this rough around the edges partnership, which grows throughout the series, in an attempt to help out both of them.
Good. Yes, I think that sums it up. Did the Punisher have his own set of cartoons, graphic novels? Was he?
The Punisher had a comic line called War Journal. Okay. And also, he's probably one of the most frequent crossovers. I think he started in Spider-Man.
Really?
And in the comics, he's much more of a kind of general writer of wrongs kind of thing. He is like anyone who does anything wrong, and he will put them down, whether regardless of what that person's motives are. And he's kind of this really unstoppable force for someone who has no superpowers in a world of super bad people.
It came out a few months ago in 2017. It's on Netflix, and it's played. The main character is played by John Berthnell, who is also known as Shane in The Walking Dead.
So to be clear, Matt, you have read the comics, have you?
No, actually, no. I mean, I've never read any of the Punisher's comics. I'm not a massive comic book person, but I've read enough to know the basics of Marvel, kind of in general. Okay. And also, he plays a big part in the Civil War series, which is my favourite comic book series.
Right. Okay, let's jump straight to Jamie and I are currently recommending this to people based on what we've seen so far? The answer is no from my corner. Not that I don't like it. I'm just not walking around saying I'm just recommending other things first. Jamie, is that the same case with you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the jury's still out for me, but at the same time, I kind of want to watch more, which is an interesting position to be in when you kind of, I don't know yet how I feel about it as a show, whether I'm actually thinking this is good, but I do know that I want to watch more to find out. It's a good storyline, which I think some of the Marvel Daredevil stuff and has lacked a compelling storyline that you really want to follow for a while. And this one is actually, it's for a start anyway. Yeah. It's got me gripped.
Well, that's then this versus the Marvel universe and Marvel fatigue. It's very refreshing because it's not throwing us with 500 characters straight away, and it isn't expecting us to be excited by a cameo from somebody else and all of that. And it's really refreshing that that's not the case. So it's
I wrote down. I like that it doesn't feel like a Marvel superhero baloney. I don't feel like that is. I know that there's characters referenced and there's references from the Daredevil series 2 that I don't really get, but I don't mind that. But however, it does feel like it's independent.
He definitely stands on its own. Really good, really interesting. Yeah. However, I feel like I've just got to. I'm not sure if it's episode 4 or 5, but essentially where I've just got up to is when finally the premise has been accepted. What you just described about that character, Matt, he is going to decide to go out there and punish people who deserve it, right? That decision is not actually made with microchip until episode 4 or 5. And so it's almost like my criticism of it is like, oh, it's wonderful that they're taking it slower. It's great that there's not this great confusion of characters. No, it's wonderful that there's not this great confusion of Marvel clusterfuck that we get, but on the other hand, it's taken them 4 or 5 episodes to do what most pilots do in the first episode. So are they still trying to eke the franchise out for the sake of it, not just giving it? Because it took me a while to kind of, I was starting to go, okay, these scenes are great, the stuff in the construction scenes and stuff, you know, when he's a builder and that, all really good, but I feel exhausted by episode 4 or 5, and now I feel like they've gone, okay, this is what the show's going to be about. Unfortunately, that's where I've pressed pause about 4 weeks ago, so I need to get back on it. So I suppose my two questions are, one, Jamie, do you feel that way? And then two, Matt, does it now, does the pedal hit the metal now, and does it improve or speed up, or is it worth it? Should I stick with it? Jamie, are you there? Are you feeling similar?
Well, I mean, I'm on two episodes in, and I'm still quite enjoying the setup.
Mm.
I do feel like it's taking it at a slower pace, but I like the, like, it's very vital. Like, one of the notes I made is it's miserable, and number two, it is extremely violent. Like that building site scene where he basically destroys a few guys, it doesn't spur any of the blood and guts, and I think a camera gets hit with some backsplash.
Nice trick. Yeah.
It was one of the first things I thought, like, this is an extremely violent show. One of the most violent superhero things I've seen, which again isn't necessarily, you know, a bad thing, cause it's showing the truth of violence.
Yeah
exactly. But I'm still very much kind of enjoying watching it develop, where it's going to go with this sort of this character and this plot. So I'm not at the exhausted stage yet.
No, but its pace is, how long has it taken you to watch those two episodes?
Oh, 2 days. I watched one a day last couple of days.
Fair enough. Fair enough then. My sort of point perhaps is its slower pace isn't making me binge. It's not making me binge. It's kind of making me go slow as well a little bit.
Mm.
Matthew, what's to come?
Oh, fair enough. Well, couple of things. Did either of you see series 2 of Daredevil?
Yes.
I watched two episodes of it and then I switched off.
Okay, because I thought Series 2 of Daredevil was pretty poor.
Mm. It was apart from
the stuff with the Punisher, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I think, I can see what you're saying, Howell, but I quite like the fact that they kind of tease you with the idea of this guy. Because obviously, if you've seen what he does in Daredevil, which... you know, it's the ultra violence kind of stuff.
Mm.
Then you know that that's what he's capable of.
So they're working hard to make you empathize, to sympathize with his situation.
No. I think that they're eking it out because it's like, you know that there are bad people out there. You want him to go out there and punish, but he's like, he's resisting it. And it's because he's a very interesting character in that sense. Cause he is the most vigilante of the vigilantes.
Mm.
Like he is kind of, as a Marvel character, he is so, willing to be judge, jury, and executioner. That I think if you just throw someone straight in there with that, then you don't empathize with them. And I think they needed to build him up as a character who could also be empathetic first. And they needed to make you want him to be the Punisher.
Yeah.
Before they did it. If they'd just thrown him in, I think it might have turned a lot of people off because it's just like, is this just guy who just goes around killing people?
Yeah.
And that's another thing that makes him unique in that kind of superhero universe is he does kill. And most everyone else in that kind of genre, knocks people out and puts them in prison. He doesn't bother with that because, you know, he's against that whole thing. He thinks the justice system has failed and you know, he's been failed by it. I think the way they did that was, I think it was correct. To make the series work as well as it did. But I will say that you are about maybe an episode or two from it getting fucking crazy nuts.
Okay.
And good. Like, by the end, honestly, I was like, whoa, shit.
Yeah.
The last couple of episodes deliver. And this is why I think it's definitely the best Marvel series that there's been. Because it's the only one I've seen which sustains its storyline and it's kind of, and my interest throughout. I think maybe that's not entirely true. I think every single Marvel series could stand to lose at least one episode, and most of them could stand to lose three or four. And this, I think, could maybe one or half an episode. There's like a little bit of fluff in there, but not a lot. I'm into all of it. They've got good people in every role, which is really unusual. They've got the chap from Westworld. They've got, I can't remember the name of the lead actress.
Got Ben Barnes.
Amber something, I think her name is. She took an episode to win me over, but actually I think she's one of the best kind of... because she's both an antagonist and a protagonist as well. It's like you're on her side, but you're not. She's a really well placed character.
Paul Schultz as well from
Paul Schultz. Yeah, yeah. What a treat.
From Nurse Jackie. Great.
Nurse Jackie, The Sopranos, and my first love, 24.
Yeah.
Wait, he'll always be Ryan Chappelle to me.
Oh my God, he's Ryan Chappelle. Do you know that? Ryan Chappelle, penny has never dropped for me.
Oh,
I watched 24 first, then Nurse Jackie, and now this. And that's great. Yes,
he is less Paul Schultz to me than he is Ryan Chappelle.
Oh, and he's
that's
in suits,
how strongly that character
way.
Resonates for me.
Yeah,
watching Jack Bauer execute him is just one of the best moments of TV in an otherwise, fallen great series. 24, The story for this really sustains itself throughout, and the whole kind of government thing is really interesting, and also the way it talks about soldiers and how we look after our veterans,
the morality of all that
is very interesting.
That was good stuff. I did like that. I think the biggest compliment I can pay it is that if you hadn't told me it was Marvel, I wouldn't have known it. and that's I really think that's a good thing. I think that it feels more like an 80s B movie that should have Charles Bronson in it. It's very kind of violent and vengeful and angry. And I noticed that the producer behind it is a guy called Steve Lightfoot, who worked on Hannibal, which was cancelled, but it was a very gruesome and a very uncompromising version of the TV version of Hannibal Lecter. And he also worked on Narcos, and I think he's got that depth of, you know, he's not afraid to pull the punches within the show. He gives it, you know, there's no compromises made for the Marvel universe with this show, and that's what I'm liking about it.
Great.
Yeah,
well, I'm sold. I literally
can I give you one criticism though? It's early days. I know you probably disagree here, but John Bernthal is a good casting as the Punisher. I agree, but he's very one-dimensional in a lot of ways.
Well,
he plays.
I think you're right about that.
He has presence. He has a great presence, which makes him a very strong physical presence. But he can only really do the brooding hard man thing, and he does it in a lot of things, not just this. But
that's what he isn't it? That's pretty much what he is, I think. And
he does it in Fury, in the film Fury. He does it in, of course, Walking Dead. He does it in, I watched Baby Driver, the film Baby, which is brilliant. Yeah, Kevin Spacey is awesome in that. he plays
You love Baby Driver?
I think Baby Driver is amazing.
Excellent.
I think it's one of the...
What is wrong with you both?
I think it's one of the best films I've seen, along with Get Out.
How many films have you seen in the last year?
Not many.
No, you haven't. Oh, God. Dreadful.
Baby Driver was great. I think I agree with you about John Bernthal, but I would say that this is actually perfect casting for him, because that is literally all he has to do.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think he does the kind of strong silent type very well. He reminds me of a friend of mine at university who we always used to say was mysterious. That's what we said to was his allure for meeting women, that kind of thing. And you can see when he's around Micro's wife, you can understand why she kind of is drawn to him, because he's just so humble, but you can sense his kind of overwhelming power and charisma as well.
You can smell the pheromones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's so masculine. And feel like he could fix anything, or he could beat anyone up, you know, these kind of horrible male stereotype things. But he just oozes it so much. But also, he does it in a very understated way. He doesn't show off. He'll never make a big show of anything. He's just there. It's just quietly understated. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you I can do it, but I definitely can.
Okay.
And I think he plays it perfectly.
I mean, I'll take Jamie's point, and I agree with everything you've said, Matt, and I think this is good. I'm sold. I'm going to carry on watching it. But I'll just say, as an interesting step back, it's interesting that it does take, by its nature, it has to take longer to set up the premise for the reason that Matt has explained. The flip side is, are we now in... are we ready for something that doesn't have to give us super serious emotional backstory? Are we ready again for a comic that is just some meathead, and should Bernthal be the guy to play it? A meathead bursts on screen and we just watch and enjoy people beating the shit out of each other. Are we ready to go from Christopher Nolan back to Tim Burton in terms of Batman? That's what I'm asking.
I don't understand the question.
Are we ready to go to a more comic book, simplistic thing? We're obsessed with the super realistic / naturalistic, heart-wrenching reasoning behind stuff.
Yeah. All right, I get the question, but I don't understand its relevance.
What do you mean you don't understand its relevance?
Well, why do we have to be ready to go to something different?
Well, I think it'd be interesting if something like this pops up. I'm being a futurologist of box sets. I'm wondering if
the next Daredevil series comes out, are we going to be able to deal with that instead?
No. I mean, are we ready? Because Daredevil's the same. Daredevil tries to give us lots of heart and darkness and realism and stuff.
Right,
the Nolan effect, even if it is a bit more comic strip than this. But... do you think somebody is going to revert back to something that is wow, blam, bap, like original Adam West Batman?
Well, no, I don't think that will happen, but I would refer you to Thor Ragnarok, which if you haven't seen, you should absolutely see.
I haven't.
No.
It is such... I mean, if you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok... and you haven't seen the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, you're feeling disenfranchised by Marvel, and you're feeling annoyed and kind of turned off by the whole comic book extravaganza, go and watch those movies.
I'll tell you what's interesting. I watched...
And in fact, go and watch Spider-Man Homecoming as well.
Oh, okay. Thingamabob, Guardians of the Galaxy, first time I watched it, I thought it was rubbish. And then I watched it again recently and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, funny, me too, actually. I didn't like it when I first saw it.
But Baby Driver, did you guys watch Baby Driver in the cinema or on TV?
On TV.
I watched it on a plane.
Yeah, I think there's something about the beginning. That film, Sarah and I were unanimous in walking out of that and going, oh, what a... I've never seen anything trying so hard to be cool in my life.
Well, it definitely was trying hard to be cool.
Yeah, but it's not cool.
It pulled it off in spades.
No. Maybe on the small screen.
That car chase at the start of the... Did you not enjoy the car chase at the start of the film?
Yes. First 3 minutes, but...
Then what was your problem with the rest of it?
I don't think he was cool. I think he was like... Yeah, it was just... Anyway, that's another podcast. What? But the only excuse I can think of is that it's on the big screen, it was very... You saw every muscle movement of everybody, and it all just felt a little bit... It was just trying very hard. The whole film.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good thriller, like comic, but it was also like Jamie Foxx was amazing in it. I thought him and John Hamm were... I just really thought it was a really fast paced,
didn't feel anything,
brilliant comic thriller.
Yeah, but
I liked almost everything about it.
All the stuff in the diner and everything, which is supposed to be making you feel like you did when you watched something like Pulp Fiction or classic Hollywood movies, it didn't make me feel anything. It didn't make me feel
I didn't think it was trying to make me feel those things, though. I just thought it was trying to be... It was trying to get into his head, the head of the protagonist, who's very much musically... sees the world through music, doesn't he? And I think that was just the take it had.
I think Edgar Wright would also want you to feel
I'm not getting riled up by this, because I'm now, after, a year and a bit of doing these shows, I am no longer feeling any necessity to make Howell agree with me. I'm very happy to be on the other side of the fence from Howell.
You've done it, Matt. Hello, welcome.
I feel like I'm... If if I'm on the other side of the argument from Hal, I'm probably in the right place.
Just something about the way Matt says that. Just sounds like he's trying to prove something to me. I can't work out what it is. Yeah. Well, you know, 93% of people on Rotten Tomatoes agree with you two. But
there you go.
But there you go. Although, you know, the audience score is 86%, so I'm obviously close to the common man, whereas you two are more like the critics who love
Edgar. If you know, where 86 is actually a very good percentage, Howell.
Oh, here we go. This is a perfect review by...
Oh, here we go.
I don't want to hear someone Howell review. It's that important?
No. I know, I think it'll agree with both of what we've both just said. At its best, it affects us like an adrenaline mixed with laughing gas. But when Baby
what
Driver...
I love about this is knowing that while we're talking, Howell is not listening.
I am listening.
Scouring the internet.
Took me one second.
For contrary opinions.
Took me one second.
Well, this takes me back to the episode of the Walking Dead podcast we were doing, where we were talking for a while and Howell's going, and then suddenly pulls out like a section of a podcast from a couple of weeks ago, which he's clearly been scouring while we were talking.
Well... Yeah, you don't understand the number of pieces of evidence I've got ready for any conversation with you, Matt. Already lined up. I've got reviews here of Pulp Fiction, just in case you didn't like that.
Loved it.
What? Yeah, that was good. That was good. Baby Driver, however. Sorry, Edgar, you've lost it. Let's end there and say that I will continue to watch The Punisher.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I wouldn't say at the moment, Matt, that I'm going, wow, this is great. I'm just going, I'm still interested. It's got me interested, which is enough at the moment for a Marvel product.
Yeah. I tell you what, one thing actually I should say against it is that the subplot kind of, I feel like they could have addressed the subplot quicker. And it ends up taking up too much time. Because in the end, it becomes a footnote as well.
So, am I right in thinking the subplot is the whole investigation that the FBI are looking at this Afghanistan?
No, that's the main plot.
The subplot
is the kid in the veterans group.
Oh right.
Oh, I haven't got to that.
You wouldn't have got that far. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, look, I really will carry on with it. But to understand my perspective on everything and why it's perfectly fine for you to disagree with me, Matt, forever, is that the first time I saw a Christopher Nolan Batman, Jonathan Ross,
here we go,
who agreed with me in person, both thought that it just needed to get the fuck on with it. Come on, Christopher, move it along. It's supposed to be a comic. Let's enjoy ourselves. Come on. I don't care what he had for breakfast.
Have you ever read any comics?
No, but Jonathan Ross has, and he agreed with me. So
actually, his wife writes a lot of really good comics.
Yeah, it's a pretty good backup to have, saying Jonathan agrees with me.
I didn't love Batman Begins when I first saw it. Didn't love The Dark Knight either when I first saw it. But now I've watched them a couple of times more. Like them.
We did need it. The world needed it. Comic book films had got ridiculous, and it was lovely to see an exploration into stuff. It was just, it didn't need to be 3 hours every time. And I feel a little bit like that about the beginning of The Punisher. Like, make me
comic
empathize.
Book films hadn't done anything by the time The Dark Knight and Batman Begins came out.
What? You've never seen a Batman film before Christopher Nolan?
Well, those were the only ones, though. It's not like there were loads of comic book films out there. They've all happened.
Yeah, no one had ever heard of fucking Batman until Christopher Nolan did it. You're absolutely right, Matt. Jesus.
No, I'm saying that there were only a couple of franchises out there, whereas now there's all of them.
I know, and they've all taken Nolan's mantle in one way or another.
But they haven't, though. What was the last Marvel film you watched?
Oh, God. I've watched them all apart from, like, the last three.
I'm saying the last three have really gone in... they haven't gone in a new direction, but I think that there's no humour in the Batman, in the Nolan films. There's none.
None.
There's, like, a tiny little smirk from Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's all you get to hang your hat on for humour.
Exactly.
And maybe a Michael Caine zinger. But the Marvel films, and this is what they have that separates them, in my opinion, from the Warner Brothers disasters of DC, is that they're willing to be a little bit more subversive. And
Nolan, you're just saying what I've already said, Matt. There's no point. You're just wasting our time now. Christopher Nolan changed the perspective on comics, which didn't exist according to you before Christopher Nolan. But everybody started to realise that you could film comics in a much better story, in a much better way than that pappy old Adam West way. I just miss
it. I'm saying that they're not like the Christopher Nolan films.
Well, I think
they've taken the good bits, but they've moved it on. They've moved it on again, and they brought in some of the levity that you're talking about.
Speaking of Michael Caine, My Generation is out around about now. It's coming to a cinema near you. Watch it. It's a Michael Caine documentary. It's edited by our friend and colleague Ben Hilton.
Oh yeah.
And if you sit in the cinema for long enough, when it gets to the thank you credits, you will see my name.
Why are you being thanked?
Because I helped.
Wasn't in it.
Because you left Ben alone.
This is why I got to go to London premiere and sit very near, at least six seats away from Joan Collins and Michael Caine.
Really?
Yeah, there I am, up in lights. Yeah, it's me, Matthew Vaughan, and Michael Caine's daughter who get thanked in the thank yous. How about that? You just got to sit for at least 15 minutes of credits before you see it. And there it is.
I probably won't watch it, but I mean, if it's available on DVD, I will.
Really should go and see it. It's brilliant. It's not just that, like, Ben edited this, but whether Ben edited it or not, this is one of the most... It's just, in terms of a feat of editing, it's unbelievable. It's basically a film that makes you feel like you are in the 60s. And it's like 2 hours of just footage from the 60s. And it's all been edited, and it seems to cut every 10 seconds. It's like Baz Luhrmann on 60s acid. And that's largely down to Ben. And that was...
Nice.
I can't remember who said that. New York Times or someone. But about Baz Luhrmann. And it's down to Ben, and he deserves great accolades for it. So look out for
it. I mean, the reason I won't watch it, though, is because I don't go to the cinema anymore unless
we
get childminders in. So no offence to Ben or anything. It's not going to happen.
No.
We're done here, right?
We're done here, right? If you want us to...
Poor Jamie's just been wanting to go and have dinner for the last half hour.
me too. If you want us to talk about something this year on the Box Set Pod, why don't you tell us? It could even be a debate like Walking Dead versus Game of Thrones. Anything you want to talk about, pop us an email, studio@theboxsetpod.com, or follow us on Twitter, The Box Set Pod. Simple. Thank you for listening, as usual. Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah.
See you next week.